nice and sunny here as well. Gorgeous. Can I just ask for anyone, hi Gemma, anyone who's good on Zoom, have you ever recorded your recording to the cloud rather than your computer? Or do you always record to your computer? Does anyone know?
I haven't done that yet with Zoom.
I haven't either. But Connie, it is saying record on my screen, so I don't know. It might be recording.
It's just
it says recording.
Yeah, it's a room on my computer. But when it says it's recording, I'm like, where is that exactly? Am I going to be able to, where is it recording to? So I just want to make sure I'll be able to access it. But I'm presuming it will store somewhere and I will find it. Okay.
Google Cloud or something, and then it sends it to, do you normally get them in an email or?
It normally saves
or?
On my computer.
Hmm. But I'm still mucking around with all those.
Yeah, I'm guessing I'll get a link or something. Fingers crossed. Dawn, I haven't said hi to you. Hello. Nice to see you. Alrighty. Let's just get on started. So we'll do a little meditation to bring us together, just a short one, and then we'll dive on in to everything we're going to be talking about today. So let's just close down our eyes for a minute. And just start with focusing on your breath and just taking some slow, deep breaths. So interesting when you become aware of your body. Like, I was just noticing my shoulders were like really high. So I was like, okay, relax them down. Just notice any adjustments you want to make in your body so it just feels more relaxed and open and comfortable. If your feet are touching the ground, you can just anchor those feet into the floor, just wiggle your toes a little bit and just feel your connection to the earth. On the floor. And feeling the weight of your lower body, of your ankles, your calves, your knees, your thighs. And deeper into your hips, feeling the weight of your hips holding you. Feeling your breath coming right into your lower belly. And allowing your upper body to become more light and open and expansive and receptive. Letting that heart energy turn on. Just relaxing any tension in your jaw or around your eyes. Feeling all of yourself here in the present moment, ready to begin. Just a couple of final deep breaths. And when you're ready, you can open up your eyes. Okay. Let's get started with how we always do, going around to share something that we're feeling good about, something you want to celebrate, something that's feeling good, a positive step, an insight, a realization, something you want to share with us all, and we'll all do that. And then we'll give everyone the chance to go around again and share what you're wanting support with. Who would like to begin? Off you go, Dawn. Oh, hang on, you're on mute. We'll just unmute you. Can't hear you.
Is it working or not?
Yep, I've got you.
Okay. All right. So when I'm finished with this, I want you to like disconnect me if you can, because I've got this video preview with the weighty in the middle of my screen, which I guess is okay. I guess I don't have to see you, but I can't get rid of it. Anyway. Okay. But the good things that are going on is, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I'm really coalescing and everything is moving forward in a really good way. I'm spending a lot of time outdoors, a lot of time doing, meditation. And then I posted that blog that was very vulnerable, and I got some wonderful feedback from it. So I feel like this was telling me that, yeah, this is exactly how I should always blog, how I should always write, even no matter what I'm writing. And so anyway, so that's probably my best thing, is the positive feedback I got from two people that I really admire and appreciate. So.
Because people can really feel you when you're writing that vulnerable space. People really connect with it.
Yeah.
We have a hearing. John, can you hear my audio at the moment or no?
I can right now, but just a minute ago, you were garbled.
Do you want me to disconnect you? Is that what you were saying before?
Yes, if you can disconnect me, that would be good. If not, I'm just going to have to reboot my iPad.
Oh, and then you'll log back in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see if I know how to do this. Remove. Let me see if I try that. Yep.
Okay.
Dawn, she won't be able to rejoin, so that's not going to work.
Okay, well, I'm just going to reboot my computer then, or my iPad. Okay.
See you soon.
All right. Okay, I'll see you soon.
Danielle,
I can go next. Hi, everyone. Good morning. For me, I feel as though I've woken up this morning and it's like a completely clean slate in my mind. Like I can't even think about what's happening. I think I really feel as though I've been gifted more time. I know that we've all kind of have more time in our days and our lives, but I feel as though it's kind of like a reset of time that we've had to postpone our wedding during this time. And I felt such a deep sense of peace because it feels like there's more time now, there's more time to prepare ourselves, our home, you know. Before it was like this rush to the finish line to kind of get it done quickly. There feels like there's more time in, you know, my purpose and doing my work and what that looks like. It felt as though I have to get out of this job now, and, you know, why am I taking so long to reach it? And now it feels as though there's more time somehow to kind of work on it and build those things. So I guess that's, something that I'm grateful for today.
Yeah, it feels like this, I've noticed this with what's unfolding. It's almost given those of us who have the tendency to put a lot of pressure on ourselves, or did have very busy or there was a lot of deadlines, things going on, this is almost like a permission slip to be like, oh, you can take a pause from all of that. And then that creates this feeling of space and room and more time. And more
yeah.
Beautiful. Surrendering to that, because it's hard when like really significant plans, whether it's planning a wedding, you know, needs to shift and change. But when you surrender to it, you really find peace in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sharing. Let's go next.
Hi everybody. I feel similar. I think that I've really embraced this change where we've all had to spend more time at home, and for me it was a great opportunity. It felt right. It felt like it completely aligned with where I was at, and it's a beautiful thing to be forced to slow down. And I thought I'd already done that, and now it was like it said, no, this is really slowing down. Like, this is what it actually feels like. It's like, oh, okay. So I love it. I'm really enjoying it. So I feel bad saying that, because I know there's a whole lot of bad side to this, but at the same time, if we're just talking obviously about our personal growth and what our journeys we're on, that's how it feels for me. It feels like a great opportunity and a really peaceful place to be, to grow from. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right, there are a lot of people who are having a really, really tough time right now, but I think we can feel for those people, but it doesn't need to make us feel necessarily guilty if we're actually feeling a sort of a sense of appreciation or gratitude at the moment, because this is actually really in some ways right now.
Yes. Yeah. Cause there are definitely people who are struggling, and I've talked to even just some close friends and things who are struggling, and it seems to be to be calm for them, I suppose, and just give them space to talk about it and be there. It's good. It's interesting too.
Yeah, beautifully said. And we're of best service to those people when we're feeling calm and centered and grounded within ourselves. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful share.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sophia or Gemma, who would like to go next? Off you go. Oh, almost. You can, Sophia, you can go.
All right. I think I kind of mentioned it in my video. What was it? April intention video. And that I just feel in general more comfortable as me, like in all kind of aspects, every aspect. I think that was kind of like a bit of a turning point when I went away. I went up north just by myself to get some space, have some alone time, funnily enough. And just be independent. And I feel like that's kind of when it started to shift. I just did my own thing, and I just felt totally okay, like, being me. And then, yeah, it's just been crazy since, because I've had to come home early, and now I've been at home for, like, 2 weeks. But, I haven't really seen that in play around many other people, like, yet. But, I mean, I think it's, like, being alone as well, being at home, is just, if anything, is going to heighten that, having that space to reflect more and kind of connect more with myself, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and you're right, people are handling that, there's an opportunity in that, people are handling it differently. Some people are really being like, okay, beautiful, here's a chance for me to connect more deeply with myself. It might be, it's not always easy to do, but we can really strengthen our relationship with ourselves in this time. Or there's a lot of people that find that hard, and so instead it's actually feeling really uncomfortable to have to be with themselves. So I love that you've actually seen it as an opportunity, and you've gone deeper into that. And
yeah, it's definitely like a contrasting experience in that it's not easy, but I'm trying to embrace that for what it is and not fight against it, because I know that that's just not going to, you know, help. So, yeah.
That's exactly how we make it through this. We embrace it for what it is and then do our best to make the best of it and find the opportunity in it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And Gemma, off you go. Oh, hang on, you're still muted, love. I'll unmute you. There you are.
Can you hear me? Oh, lovely. I've had computer issues all week, which has been fun being at home. I think I'm feeling a lot right now, but I'll say the last week, couple of weeks, thankful is really where I've been, which has really been that soft place, just coming back to gratitude for, like I said, I've been focusing on kind of my small world. You know, I watch the news for about 5 seconds in the morning and then I'm like, ah, back to my world. So just really thankful for the life that I'm living, where I am, even that I'm in this group with you ladies and have already done so much self-discovery and connection and inner work to be able to be at peace right now. So I think really, really thankful is just where I'm at.
Yeah, beautiful. I think the practices of gratitude and appreciation and focusing on what is going well and what we do have is so important right now, because it's so easy for our minds to think going wrong and it's a challenge and it's a struggle, but those little practices of gratitude make all of the difference that you can have.
Sure.
Thank you. I love you in purple too. It just makes me think of the higher chakras, like the, is it the crown chakra that's purple?
Oh yeah, pink.
All right, ladies. Well, let's have a feel into and a think into, which you might already have clarity on it, what it is that you would like support on today to talk out, to get some tools or clarity on. Yeah, just be feeling into that as we're going around in the group. Does anyone feel clear and ready to share on what they want support with today? Oh, Sophia, right off the bat. Off you go, sister.
So it's kind of, I don't know. I'll just start talking and see what happens. So basically in lockdown, so in New Zealand, we're like in full lockdown, as in you don't leave the house unless you need essentials. And I am at home with my mum, and in general, we have a pretty good relationship. Like, we have a very open, honest relationship. We talk to each other about most things, but it's just really hard being here with her, because we also we experience a lot of conflict, and I'm finding it really hard to not get reactive around her. I'm so calm and peaceful around most people, and like the one person that just fires me up, I get reactive, I get defensive, and I just, like, when I'm in isolation, I want to be like alone, like fully alone, and yeah, I just don't know how to put it into words, but I'm just really struggling with how to deal with my emotions around that and what I can do for myself to fill my needs but also not create, you know, the conflict between us. And yeah.
Can you tell me more about the conflict? So what it is either that gets triggered in you, or what is the sort of source of the conflict and the triggers between you?
I think we feed off each other's energy quite a lot. So like if I'm feeling like low or something, she'll want to help and fix that when I just want space to be alone. And so she'll like interfere, and then I'm kind of like, no, leave me alone. But that's not how she works, because when she's feeling low, she wants support and she wants, you know, someone to be compassionate. I don't do that. I'm kind of like distant. I don't like to get involved in things like that. I find it really hard to, empathize with her and connect with her on that level. And so we just feed it off each other's energy. And if, I don't know, and then it just escalates somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's primarily when she's wanting connection and support with you and you're wanting your distance and your space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then remind me again. So, and when is it when you're, what are you wanting or needing and she's not giving you? What's the reverse?
It's just space, especially at the moment. Like, I just want to be able to do something without getting interrupted, because I get, when I'm in my thought process and when I'm in my like isolation space, I'm really preoccupied and I can't really deal with external things going on, and it kind of bursts the bubble. But yeah, and then it's really little things where we're just one comment and then we just lose it. You know, and like a lot of that I feel is very energy based. Like we will feed off each other's energy and we both want to help each other, but we don't know how to do it for one another. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get frustrated within ourselves, because we're trying to help, but then the other person doesn't want the help and we don't know how to help them in the way that they need. And
Well, I mean, what's beautiful and both challenging about this is it's like what we were saying before, that say if someone dealing with their relationship with themselves, well, they're kind of forced to deal with it right now. Just something that's a little unresolved in your relationship with you and your mum.
Yeah.
Right, it's right in your
Yep.
I think what the opportunity in this is, even though right now it's challenging, is for you two to create a more cohesive, understanding relationship with each other, where both what you want and need. And I'm feeling like there's a little bit of a breakdown in the communication around an inability to really understand each other or have each other understand what you're each needing at the time.
Yeah.
Tell me at the moment what the communication between you looks like. Is it quite emotionally charged? Is it quite reactive? What do you feel isn't working in how you're communicating with each other?
Well, generally speaking, like I will try stay calm. Like I will try keep things calm and kind of just be honest with her and be like, this is how I'm feeling, da da da, and just say it all. And sometimes I think because I'm so honest, she can take it personally, and then it kind of starts this little fire, and then like whether, I don't know, if we like say hurtful things or something, and then it just escalates into like an argument. And like usually in general, I can not buy into feeling reactive and getting defensive, but I think it's because she knows me so well. And then she'll say something that she knows will, you know, tip me over, just as I would say something that I know would tip her over. And then, like, we're trying to get conflict. Like, we're subconsciously seeking this.
Well, let's just for the moment put her to the side, because she's not here, so we can't kind of work on what's going on for her, even though you're both playing into this. Mm. What's the part of you that's wanting the conflict? Why is part of you wanting to create that conflict?
I think part of it is that whole, like, being a child and just wanting that sense of independency and rebellion against the parent figure. And so, like, sometimes, like, I'll just do it for a laugh, like, not too seriously, but then it's taken seriously. And also, I think I just want to, like, we both want to help each other understand, I think, but I want to help her, like, understand certain things. And I don't know how to translate that in her language or over to her language, and I don't know. Repeat the question. Let me think about this.
Well, you had mentioned something about both of you almost wanting to create a conflict there, and I was curious what the was the part of you that was wanting to create it. Because I'm feeling a pent up energy and a pent up emotion and frustration. And I just want both of you, but because you're here, we're going to work on what's coming up for you. And I feel it like it's sitting here, it's energy sitting at the surface that I feel like it's something unresolved that's wanting to be expressed and that hasn't been resolved between the two of you or in yourself in your relationship to her. Mm-hmm. And it can't help but want to come out through little maybe jabs or stabs or things that you know.
Yeah. Conflict. Yeah, no, that resonates.
Yeah. So what's really unresolved for you in your relationship with your mom around how you feel in that relationship?
I think I still feel like I am this is going to sound stupid because I feel like she still treats me like I'm a child, which, fair enough, you know, mum-daughter relationship, there's always going to be that mothering side, but like sometimes it feels like she also, because she works in like mental health and with clients and things, and sometimes I feel like she talks to me the way she talks to, you know, like the people she works with, and like I just feel like it's like patronizing and condescending, like I don't know things, like she sometimes I feel like I'm treated as if I don't know how to look after myself, or I don't know how to do things, and she'll just interfere and try to fix it and want to help me, and I'm like, I want to figure it out for myself. Mm-hmm. Like I'm old enough to do it. And I think I just get frustrated because that's where I think that's whole concept of space is, like I need the space for me to figure it out myself. And like, yeah, that may be challenging at times, but if I want help, I will ask for it. You know, like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm, yeah, sometimes treated like I'm still little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can, that feels definitely related probably to what you're feeling a lot growing up. It feels like she's not fully understanding where you're at and what you're needing. I can feel, yeah, there's the frustration, there's wanting space, all of that. So again, we've got to look at the moment we may not be able to change her. So let's change within you, even though it does involve both parties. When you see, when she comes to you with this energy, wanting to help, she's being patronizing, she's making you a child, she's wanting to fix things that you want to sort out for yourself. How would you love to see yourself responding to that and handling that instead? Let's say, rather than getting frustrated and angry and defensive and then wanting to create the conflict.
Yeah, I want to be able to acknowledge what she says and like so that she feels heard, because I know that's important to her. But then also say what I need in a calm, clear manner and kind of just, you know, lay it out on the table, be like, this is what I need. Like, I hear what you're saying, this is what I need. And then kind of just leave it at that. And I think I still have a fear around doing something like that, because like I'm afraid that even when I do that, she'll get reactive to what I say. Which I think at times has happened, where like I've made it really clear and I'm calm, but because of where she's at or something, you know, it just doesn't go down well.
And that's part of the inner child. The child never wants to upset the parent. We want to keep it. So I think what the work here is for you, you can see how you want to be showing up in a way that actually really claims your independence and yourself as the woman that you are. And that's a beautiful way to address it with her, is to ensure that she feels heard, acknowledged, validated in what she's expressing to you, that you have compassion and empathy for where she's coming from. Yeah. That clear expression of what you're needing, and maybe even a boundary of like, you know what, I can feel right now this conversation starting to escalate. I'm going to take some space and let's come back to it when we're a little bit calmer. She may have a reaction to that for sure. And part of the work is actually allowing her to have her reaction and not sort of then modifying your behavior to ease her discomfort. I don't mean reaction like hurt her feelings, but if this is just about clear boundaries and clear communication around what you need, she may need to process that if that's different to how she's, you know, used to your relationship being like.
Yeah.
That will set a foundation for a really empowered relationship between the two of you. The way you've described it to me is very, very clear and respectful and self-understanding of her at the same time. And I think that's the growth work there, and is to overcome that fear of potentially her not, her having a bit of a reaction to that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, makes sense. I think it's just something I need to consciously work on. But, yeah.
The problem with parent-child relationships, everything's unconscious. We're all unconscious programmings based on what we set up through our entire life.
Yeah.
Really tiny example. I went through this with my father for years. He was the person that I bumped up against with this. Because he told me what to do, and even when I was 5 or 6 years into my business, he was still trying to get me into a day job. Still like, Con, I've found all these jobs. I think you should go to these jobs. And I was like, oh my God, like this is what he like. I felt so unsupported, and you know, I had a big trigger. But one of the things that I had to do with him, and really got it, was exactly what you said. When he would share it with me, I would say to him, Dad, thank you. Like, I'm so grateful that you went and did all this research for me. I know you want me to be safe and secure. I know you're doing this because you really want to support me. I'm so grateful for that. But I really need you to understand that this business is my dream and I'm never giving up on my dream. And so I just really need you to support me in that. Got to a point where he almost had nothing to say back to that, because it was just me very clearly standing in my truth, knowing that he may not like it and it would upset him that he couldn't help me. But the more that I just stood in that really clear space, he eventually began to really accept what I was communicating. So for this conflict to shift, one person's got to show up differently. If we keep showing up in the same way, it's just going to keep going.
And yeah,
just this journey, it's going to be you to work on, okay, how do I want to show up as my clear, calm, empowered self? It might initially be difficult, but I'm going to set the tone now for a really different relationship dynamic between us.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. One step at a time.
Practice this stuff, but I think it's presenting because it's asking you to work on it.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely done a lot of thinking around that, and like I know that it happens for a reason, and like it's important for us to continue like to work on it, because we've done so much work on our relationship as well over the years, and it's gotten a lot better than it was. But I think it's, we're both kind of each other's biggest teachers in this respect. So yeah, that'll be good.
Does anyone else have anything to share on that too? Because we all, you know, come up with conflict in our parent relationship with our parents, or you know, we're all together now, maybe with our family. Is anyone else coming up against stuff that they want to share? Any insights for Sophia on that? Amanda?
Yeah, it's amazing actually, because I feel I'm mother in this situation. Not your mother, obviously. Different relationship. But definitely, my daughter's 17, turning 18, and yeah, because we've been going through this process, and I'm really going through this wonderful, in this wonderful place, and in my own journey. And so this is the one conflict that is sort of sticking out like a sore thumb, I suppose, in my life at the moment. We're actually seeing a psychologist. We had our first session, my husband and I, with her a couple of weeks ago, because she asked to. She said, look, it's your parenting, blah, blah, blah. We need to see someone. And I said, that's fine. That's great. You know, because I thought, you know, we'd sat down quite a few times and we have a beautiful relationship. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl. But we went to see somebody just to, so that everyone felt like they were heard, you know, and she felt like she was heard. And I think she felt quite intimidated by me and my husband, that she actually said that. She said when she sits down with us, she's quite intimidated and can't get her words together how she wants to. She's obviously younger than you. not that I know how old you are, yeah, she's about to become an adult, but she's still at school in her last year of school, and it's a very stressful situation for her, having to work from home and all those kinds of things. So she's got her own issues. So we definitely thought that going to get professional help would be a good thing for her and us, so that everyone can start to, I guess, have a structure around the resolution of that. I don't know how you guys could see somebody else, but it's by Zoom or whatever, you know, because can't see anybody. But I think when you're stuck in that one place with everyone close together, it does make it harder. And I think especially when you're a young adult, you know, that you're just getting out into the world, and I think all those boundaries of what's advice, when are they actually, parents actually offering advice, and whether you want to hear it or not, or whether, and the other way around, you know, it's a bit of a jungle to navigate, I think. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm in a similar space, I suppose, in some ways. It sounds like you really want to work on it. So I think that's the thing, isn't it? If everybody's wanting to work on it and have a resolution. And I think what Connie was saying about being able to say how you feel very clearly and calmly. And I know you're already working on that. So I think that's great. And I think we're all looking for that, because I've even done that in my life with my own husband when I was doing music, and he sort of kept discouraging me. He reflected every fear I had about doing music. And so every time I would, you know, we'd have this, should I quit music? Should I not do it anymore? He'd sort of go, yeah, because obviously you're not happy. And I'd go, that's not fair. I want to keep doing it. So I've had it on. I know I can sort of feel it. And it's about, I think like what Connie was saying, for me, it sounds clearly like it's about, yeah, everybody listening and coming from a calm place, because it is so easy, I think, in families to escalate to that place of pushing all those old buttons. Just, yeah, fire us up against each other. So, yeah, I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, at some, even getting a third party into support with the facilitation of those conversations, if that's needed. I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah. Yes, interesting. It kind of made me think when, like, you saying that, because there have been times when, like, I'm not one to ask for help much, but there have been a few times when I have asked for help, and then I feel like my needs haven't been met, or that, like, there was no point in even asking because she didn't do what I asked. So, like, there was a time when I wanted to see someone to talk to, just, like, a counsellor or something. And I wasn't in the headspace to go out and, you know, take the initiative, and I just didn't know how to go about it, who to see. And because she's kind of in that field, I thought she would maybe know someone helpful. And so that was like something I asked. And I asked lots of times, I was like, I want to see someone, like, I need help. And I used the word, I need help, I want to see someone. And then, I don't know, there was just never action taken on it. And like when I did need the help, I was left by myself. You know, that's kind of how it felt anyway. So, I don't know. But yeah, I'll keep working on it, and just working on my energy around her to diffuse anything before it can get big, I guess.
It's a big area of work, and it might take some ongoing work, but I think you're in the trenches working on it, so well done, and you're bringing a lot of self-awareness to it. So that's
yeah.
Oh, Gemma's got something to share.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you can hear me. You just made me think about it with my relationship with my mom, because we went through the transition. We were in the places where I despised her when I was 18, like Amanda. Situation, and then honestly, I've had to come to a place where I've been on this like yogi journey, inner journey, and I don't know if this is the case, but she had me when she was so young, and that's the story I tell myself, but she never had this opportunity that I've had to like do the inner work and figure out who I am and become my own person. I feel like she still is a couple of steps behind me on that, and it's been me like accepting that by no means am I the parent, but I'm almost a coach, mentor, friend. Like, I've had to see that the relationship has changed. Like, and she's my best friend, but at the same time, I'm like, Mom, come on, you know, like, here, do this yoga video. And I've had to accept that the relationship is a lot different than it was before. Of course, she's my mom, but I'm not looking to her for guidance. I've almost had to, like, in some ways I am in love, but I've almost had to like let it shift and let my mind shift around it to get us back to a place where we can be at peace together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. Even now, so like I'm 21, I sometimes feel like I'm trying to like help her out and kind of be encouraging to her and supportive of her. Because, like, when she had me, like, the relationship with my dad was really rocky and they separated when I was 2 years old. And I know she had, like, some postpartum depression and things like that. So she was kind of, like, raising me and my brother by herself. And so she probably, you know, was struggling with her own things and didn't have much time for herself to do that processing work. And so, yeah. I think I just need to remember that we've both lived very different lives and she comes from a very different place, and kind of be understanding and nourishing of that. And then, yeah, I guess reminding myself of that before I, you know, act or do things. Yeah.
I don't know if any of you are familiar with Byron Katie, but she does incredible work on supporting in your relationships with others. She has a worksheet and her stuff, she calls it The Work. She has a lot of videos of how she helps people do what she calls the turnaround. And so she teaches every relationship is a mirror, and she teaches us a place where we're triggered to own and look at ourselves. So rather than being like, he doesn't understand me, to own, I don't understand. So she calls it the turnaround. We are constantly pulling the thing back on you. So like, yeah.
What was the name, Connie? Because you're going in and out a little bit.
You're coming out.
It's kind of feeding back or something.
Sorry about that. Byron Katie.
Byron.
Katie. Yeah, I can even put her in the group. But it's a constant, yeah, if I'm saying like, he doesn't support me, I don't support me. It's the constant turning back. So she has a worksheet that helps you work through it. And it's a beautiful way to do the inner work in relationship. So maybe take a look into that.
Sorry, closing window.
All right. Who would like to go next? Sorry if my audio is being funny, guys. I'm not sure. Who would like to go next? Gemma.
Yeah. I've been feeling like in the last couple of weeks, I mean, from my video yesterday, I kind of reflected how I've been feeling pretty calm. But then today, it's funny how these coaching calls always come about, and I fully intended on talking to you about business, like, let's talk podcasting and give me your best tips and whatever. But then today I've been feeling just a little confused about, because work has been pretty dang busy for the last couple of weeks, and I'm good at that world. Like, I'm good at being in the, okay, I'm on it, my masculine, you know, but I've been thinking that I've been feeling connected and pretty calm and doing my yoga and not connecting inwardly as much as I like. I guess my question really is, or my struggle is, feeling like I always need to be on it. And by that, I mean, like, I can't always be connecting inward, right? And I mean, I feel like I feel in some senses like I'm mindful and I am conscious of how I'm feeling and when there's some tension. But then after looking back and being like, it's been a little bit since I checked in, I need to be checking in more often. And I don't know if it's a lack of trust with myself or not, because I don't feel like I'm just not aligned when I'm not always checking in, right? Like, that's not, you can't always be here. But I guess I'm a little confused right now as to, am I really showing up how I think I'm showing up? Or have I gotten into this autopilot of the life that I'm used to living? You can tell I'm just a little confused. I don't even really know how to say it. Mm-hmm. But feeling like I always need to be on it is probably the best way to describe it. Like, if I'm not, like, checking in and, like, journaling, and is that me? Is that some, like, not heart-centered version of myself, and I'm just living this thought that it is the heart-centered version of myself? I don't know. I guess it's a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm. So you're feeling like, I hear what you're saying, and I'm just trying to put words to it as well. It's almost like a part of, like, I should be checking in more. I should be coming into my heart more, because that would mean I'm being more of my true authentic self. And if I'm not doing that, am I just going through the motions because it's familiar? Is it something like
that? Yeah, exactly.
So why does it feel important to you at the moment to be checking in? What's driving the desire for checking in on yourself more?
I think... and this is also like a confusion within myself, because even I think Sophia brought this up on her video, is like, I'm such an achiever and I know the steps that I should be going through. And that means then I'm connected to my heart. But do I always need to be, I want to feel like my intuition and my, I've set up my life that I don't always need to be checking in to be the person that I know I am on the inside. You know what I mean? So I guess the sense of feeling like I need to check in almost is coming from, because I feel like that's the steps I should be taking. You have to check in with yourself. Otherwise, who is this rogue woman out there in the world? And maybe it's the energy right now that it feels like, okay, we need to be checking in more regularly so we're not getting absorbed in this craziness. Or maybe it's just this type A personality in me that comes out when I do need to work a little bit more because work is consuming. So maybe that's what the trigger is this energy in the world. And maybe it is when I do need to work more, I need to check in with myself so that I can feel like I'm coming from a place of heart-centered rather than work-driven, very masculine-focused.
Mm. I think you've identified a couple of beautiful things there. I think you're right. It's important to see that part of ourselves where almost the self-care and the work becomes a should. Like, for me to feel like I'm being authentic and on the right, I'm doing the right thing and moving forward, I've got to be doing all of my practices that show me I'm that person. So it's always valuable to witness when that voice almost comes to take over the way we do this work with ourselves. The second thing is, the more we practice this stuff, the more integrated it does actually become. When we sort of start, we do need very set routines and practices to help us. But actually, the more familiar this stuff becomes, the more it, like, I actually find I don't need my morning practice now to access my intuition. My intuition just kind of with me all the time. Sometimes I question, I'm like, oh, am I spiritually connected at the moment? But I feel like it's just become now who I am through doing the work so much that it's not as much of a structured practice to access that. And the other thing I've noticed, there's just a couple more points. What I've kind of noticed in myself, and I wonder if this would be the case for you as well, is my body, if I'm connected to my body actually tells me when I need to either check in or I need to go do some yoga or I need some self-care. Like I might get in my workflow and then I might get up and realize, oh my gosh, like my shoulders are tense, my neck, I'm clenching my jaw. And that's my body saying, okay, we need to go have a little break or do some stretching. So it's less of like thinking about doing the practices and more actually just listening to my body and my feelings.
Beautiful.
Like even I woke up this morning and just was feeling disconnected from myself. So I kind of could tell, okay, I want to bring myself back to me this morning. So it becomes a lot more of a sort of a fluid feeling based, I think, way of practicing it. And it's just about, when you say checking in, I think it is just about remaining connected to yourself. And you might find you can do several days of work and you still feel really connected to yourself and you still feel really good and you don't need those check-in practices. Maybe other times you need them more. And then as well, they can become more simple in that I just had this image when you were talking about coming into your heart. You can do that in an instant, just like breath. Oh, okay, there's my heart again. I lost her for a second there.
Yeah.
On the floor. Yep. Okay. Here I am in the present moment. It can become more integrated just in the day to day.
No, that's beautiful. No, you're really, that's a great point, is knowing less up here. It's coming from your body rather than your head. That's a really good point. Cause I think that's how I've been feeling. And then I think this morning, when I get ready for these coaching calls, maybe I'm suddenly get a little too heady, like what am I doing, what should I be doing, where do I need to be showing up more, oh I'm not being the person I should be. But I think you're totally right, when it's coming from the body, it's, and it has been feeling good, it has this way rather than up here. Today it's been up here for whatever reason, but that's really, I love that too, because there's that quote where it's like you've fake the person that you want to be and then eventually you become her. It's more eloquently said than that, right? But I think that's exactly what you're saying, is eventually those practices that you set up, you just eloquently kind of move into it when you've practiced it enough. They just become who you are.
Mm-hmm. And it's harder for the mind then to measure. Am I conscious right now? Am I heart connected right now? Am I aligned right now? Because it's not like I'm not finding proof of that through our practices. It's actually just, it's harder to measure or quantify, because it's sort of now just part of who we're becoming. So it is the trust piece, like you said at the start too.
Right.
And I think just not like, if we ever are doing these practices or these check-ins and things, it's about doing it because it's about, what am I trying to say? Not sort of doing it because we should or because that's what would qualify us as being sort of a conscious, awake person. But it just being based on what we're needing in the moment. Mm-hmm. Really adapted and based on where you're at and what you're feeling. And
Right.
Nourish you in that.
Well, and I think right now too, even feeling calm in this world when everyone else is kind of, not everyone else, but a lot of people are chaotic and there's craziness. It's triggering me to be like, is this real? Am I allowed to feel this way when there's so much pain and horror out there? And I've started to, even on social, I've kind of quieted up a little bit, because I feel like, yes, there needs to be light, but almost questioning, just there's a lot of triggers, I guess, that are making me be like, is this who you really are? Is this real? Like, have you created this? Or are you just living this optimistic bubble that you shouldn't be allowed to be in right now because the world is crazy? But listening to all of you ladies, it's, we've done the work and that's why we feel this way, right? We can be compassionate and then we can come back to our inner and trust the inside that we know is peaceful and we know there's hope. We've got to have hope. So.
And one final thing on that. Yeah, one final thing on that for you. I actually want to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself when you hear that voice, what part of me is speaking right now? Like, what part of me is asking that question? The question is, should I be feeling this like calm? Look at everything that's going on in the world. Like, is that your heart and your intuition's voice? Or is that mind conditioning ego, right? It's actually really a question when all that's going on, all that part of you that's like, am I showing up enough? I should be showing up more. Like, am I doing it? It's always like, okay, what part of me is speaking right now? That's my mind, right? Let me drop in a little bit and just see, is there any other guidance on this? If I was to ask my heart's perspective right now, what would my heart say? And so I think it's before
we love that.
The voice that's coming through our mind, let's first find out which voice is speaking to us before we follow it.
I love it. Yeah, because that's just spiraling, and I know that feeling. I should know that feeling. Ah, no spiraling. Yeah, perfect. Good. Okay, thank you.
Emma, thank you for your question. All righty. Who would like to go next? No, Amanda, who's going? Amanda's off. All right, off you go, love.
I don't really have a specific question. I think I've just been in such a lovely place, and I feel like I'm in the right place. Not every moment, but maybe today's just a bit more freestyling. I don't know. I just want to say, Gemma, I love the idea of that rogue woman. She sounds amazing. that was great. I think. Similarly, I guess going on from that, yeah, I suppose being able to support people around me, and I suppose quite often, I think in the past, I would have been one of those people that was a little bit lost perhaps at this point. But because of what we've been doing, I feel really grounded and I've got purpose. So that's, I want that to stay. And I think, Connie, when you talked about keeping the energy for this month, that's what I want to do. And I think I said the same thing in March. Like, I just, once you get to that sort of, when you have that, those aha moments, you want to hold on to that feeling. I know I won't lose them. I guess that's the thing. You sort of, at first you think when these things, it's like you've learned to ride. Oh, I hope I don't forget how, you know, and of course you don't. Just fall off a couple of times maybe and get back on. But I just want to keep moving, keep this energy. And that, I don't know how, if that will be more difficult because we're not as in complete lockdown as say New Zealand yet. We can still move about a little bit more freely, I believe. and so I'd like to think I can handle that too. But I think because I am naturally or more recently have been more of an introvert and being a writer and working in a bubble on something anyway, none of this seems scary to me to spend the time alone or at home a lot because that's kind of where I work from when I'm not out, if I'm not out performing and things like that. So when I have to go back out and performing, that will be another whole scary situation that I'll have to revisit because I haven't done it for a while. So, but I know I've been through that, so it'll just be a process. So I guess I'm just hoping to keep this energy and be, it's wonderful to discover, to have this calmness in a storm, I think it feels, but it is a bit new for me too. So, being able to handle other people's energies coming in and how to respond to that. I guess I want to make sure I'm staying here and being, because I'm enjoying it. I don't want to lose that. So I don't know. That's a question.
Well, it ties in beautifully to, you know, what Gemma said too about self-trust and also what part of me at the moment is speaking when it says, oh, you could lose this, or what should you practice to try to keep this? And like, that's not the part of you that is actually the energy itself. That's your mind being like, here's something you can lose and it's going to disappear if you don't keep working it, or whatever the voice is saying. Into the actual place you're feeling now, it's probably saying something like, you're exactly where you need to be. Everything you're doing is perfect. just keep flowing with it. And, you know, we're all playing different roles based on what's unfolding right now. Some of us are in the experience of, yes, going through massive change and loss and grief and struggle. And some of us are holding the space of the light right now. We're holding the vibration of calmness and steadiness. And that's allowing our whole collective to not fall apart, because we have a bit of a mix. Some people in the chaos, some people in the calm. And we are sort of the light bearers for people at the moment. If we're not too radically affected by what's happening, part of our work is, yeah, can we just, even if we're not interacting with people, us in our individual energy, radiating an energy of peace and calmness is supporting the collective. Because all going into the field and everyone's feeling it. And there's massive fear energy in the collective. But the more that we bring calmness and light and surrender and trust, we're putting that out into the field. And that's supporting, right?
Yes.
Beautiful job. And I think it's continuing to trust where you're at and trust what you're feeling and just keep following that.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. And I think with other people's experiences, we definitely have to be using our sort of boundary work where we can, where we can be empathetic and compassionate and hold space without taking on or feeling like you were saying, it's that sort of a bit, gosh, should I be feeling this good considering what's going on for everyone else? But knowing you're being of service by feeling good right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It is about not taking things on. Because I know if people have got one, like I've got one friend who's basically she's separating from her husband. They've got to sell their house and everything. And then this whole coronavirus thing happened and they can't, obviously, and they have to live in the same house. And she's sort of losing her mind a bit about it all, and then having to be sort of isolated in the people like that, or people having their own issues. And you want to be there for them, but not get sucked down a spiral of their, well, how to support them, I suppose. And just be, and not get sucked into the downward spiral of other people.
As long as we can support people from a distance. I know if people I know are going through things, and I either can't save my family in Melbourne, they're going through things, I pray, I send them light. I wrap them up in love and light from a distance. I do distant prayer and energy healing for them.
That's beautiful.
You don't have to be in their physical vicinity helping them hands on. I've got a girlfriend at the moment that for the past 6 months has been suicidal, and it's been very, very difficult for me to support her and not take that on. But I'm doing a lot of it like loving on her from a distance, prayers and intentions and healing energy, and that's still a way we can be of service to people.
Oh, that's a lovely idea, actually. Yeah, because I do think good thoughts for people, but I guess to make it a really intentional thing, I think that's really nice. I think that's lovely. I'll do that.
This is your own vibration too, as you come into that higher energy of being of service through your energy too, from a distance.
Yeah, thanks, Connie.
Yeah. And it just sparked one more thought too. And I was thinking about this with Sophia's situation. No matter where life puts us, I think one of the most powerful questions we can ask is, who do I want to be in this situation? Like, life is going to constantly bring us different things, and we're going to have conflict in relationships. Work's going to fall apart sometimes, whatever happens. Always just like, who do I want to be in terms of what would make me feel proud and happy with who I'm being? How do I want to show up in this situation just for me, so I feel good about who I'm being here? I think that's a really important thing to keep coming back to.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you're sort of some comment. Yeah, beautiful. Awesome. Who do we have left? Danielle and Dawn. Who would like to go? Okay, Danielle, off you go. So whoever's quickest on the button gets to go.
I'm pressing the wrong button. Sorry, speaking of buttons. I guess I'm feeling the same. There's not really any specific question, but there is a lot happening around with all of the crumbling of everything familiar at the moment. Is how I'm feeling. So I guess there's two really strong themes that I've had that I know I've been working through, especially through this mastermind, but around my work and moving from corporate into more creative work, and what that feels and looks like. I guess I've woken up in this time and been like, well, actually, I am living that life at the moment. So I'm able to work from home and have more of a leadership mentoring role within our team. So I've got three or four people that I'm mentoring through this process within our team, and, you know, checking in on them and using all of those things that I love, you know, from my heart. And feeling a lot more creative because I work in events usually, but events now have disappeared. And so I'm now working more in a content, you know, creating positive news stories and guiding the team through that transition. And so that's been really interesting to witness that, you know, I resigned from my job in December. I got a month to kind of rest and, you know, reset and figure out what I wanted. And then I felt like I wasn't, that I needed to stay, which obviously in this time is a huge blessing to work for a huge global organization, because, you know, I have a stable income and a job, and I'm actually able to have a strong voice in the world, I think. So that part's been really interesting. I feel like I have stronger boundaries with my time and the way that I'm turning up in the team, because I'm in my little sanctuary and my own little room by myself, which is nice. And so that's been a really interesting transition to see how that kind of unfolded and how I felt that peace throughout the time. It's been really beautiful and given me a lot more peace that there is time for me to develop, you know, my own work. And when I finally transition into that, it'll be the right time. But at the moment, you know, this is where I'm turning up. So that feels really beautiful. The next one is around home and what that looks like. We were, you know, planning the wedding and buying a house and all of these pieces. So we moved in with family during this time, because my partner was finding work, you know, had a few work issues and things like that. And we were in this like saving up mindset, and then all of this has happened. And now, because the wedding is now postponed by a year, we have more time. And we are now moving out in the next week, which, yeah, is its own big story. But which is really weird. I was like, why am I saying thank you for my life turning upside down? Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, I'm feeling like it's a push again to really step into, you know, what I've been wanting to call in a sense. But at the same time, I am feeling this pressure to be perfect and make a perfect decision and, you know, don't waste this time and, you know, avoid that, you know, I told you so thing in a year's time, which is really funny. But it's like, you know, if we choose, I guess we've been given this extra time, which means we can do what we want with it. There is no rat race anymore. I don't have to live in the city and, you know, paying all of this rent to live in nature. I guess that's the craving that we're having, and our real strong desire has always been. And if we could, we would probably move to Malta now, because, you know, I have flexibility with work and different things, but there are no flights going there. So I have to now go, okay, we're here, this is what we have to work with. Am I going to have the courage to kind of drown out all the voices and say, you know, this is true to us, risk and move somewhere beautiful and enjoy this time, or are we going to stay here and, you know, keep trying to hustle and work? And so there's that pull between the two. It's a really, you know, unexpected crossroads to be in, but yeah, it's really calling on such a deep surrender and trust and all of those pieces. And so I'm feeling the waves of everything all at once.
And similar to what I was saying to the others, can you feel with each of those voices, you were sort of talking about this pull, can you feel the space where each of those voices are coming from? You know, we can have the voice either coming from our heart, our truth, our intuition, love, what's right for us, or we can have it coming from sort of should or obligation or what makes sense or what makes others happy. Can you feel the energy space driving each of those two options?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm realizing how anchored I am in the safe and should do bucket, because when I don't, if I say, okay, I'm going to listen to the feeling here that's lighting me up, there's no, it's not there's no certainty in it, obviously, because it's unprecedented. We don't know what's going to happen. What if we just decided to do that when we've never had the opportunity to before? So, yeah, I guess as Amanda, and I always think of Amanda when this pops in my head, but leaning into it and just being like, how do we lean into this, you know, this extra time and this extra space, and what do we want to do with that time? I think it's, yeah, exciting and scary all the same time, and just navigating that.
And I've been hearing this come up for people, and I'm moving through it personally as well. And again, because with this, the situation is impacting us all differently, but for some of us, there's actually like the most incredible opportunity in this, and things that almost on some level we've wanted for a really long time, or on a deeper level have been asking for, even what you're saying around how your work has shifted, is suddenly clicking into place. I was talking to Johara, who's one of the other women in this group, who often is, the time zones don't quite work for her to attend because she's in Saudi Arabia, but we had our one-on-one session the other day. And not to share her story, but she shared something similar. She's like, there's been this change in my work, and suddenly like, the way that my days are set up and my routines and my work, it's like exactly what I've been wanting. Like, and she was feeling so blessed by it. So for a lot of us, that's happening. And there's also a lot of us are now finding that there's space being created to come into our hearts, because we're less in da-da-da-da-da, get out, show up, just get out to work, da-da-da. Where it's like, oh, we've got more space now, and we can let the heart lead. And I think that's the opportunity here.
Yeah.
And we're right, there's less certainty. It's it might bring up fear, it might bring up different emotions, it might feel more risky. I've been talking to a girlfriend about this too at the moment, who is on the verge of leaving her job on the Gold Coast to come move down to be with this guy that she's dating in Bondi, to come and live with him, like leave her whole life behind to follow her heart. And we've been having these conversations around, you know, it's such a risk and you don't know what's going to happen, but we've been given the opportunity to become better at navigating the unknown right now, and not find certainty through seeing in advance how it's all going to play out, but just really, really trusting in what we feel.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And setting up the rituals around that to support that space, because I think there was a lot of my rituals and routines were around supporting the adrenaline, like bringing it back down and, you know, reacting to that and bringing my energy back after being out, you know, in the world all the time, which we don't have to do now. And now that ritual's feeling, you know, what I'm craving and what I'm needing feels very different. So it's, you know, the morning journaling, for example, because I have more space to do that, and, you know, giving myself the space to listen in to that, because I think a lot of the time it was like calming that space before, where now it's like, you know, I can actually listen to it. It's a whole new part of me, I guess.
Yeah. That's another gift in this, is that we have been brought deeper into ourselves, because when this first happened, I was the same as you. I was like, I need as much self-care as I can to at least just feel normal again, because I feel so rattled by everything going on. And through then committing to those practices that helps soothe my nervous system, you naturally then come into deeper connection. And then naturally there's this now space created to hear even more of your inner voice and your inner wisdom. So, you know, I really don't feel like there's any accidents in how this is all unfolding. And, you know, I've even at times felt like I really do feel very lucky in this situation at the moment. And I felt a little bit of guilt sometimes to be like, wow, I actually feel like this is really serving me in a lot of ways. I think I'd shared with you that my boyfriend's moving in with me in a week, and a lot of this has been the catalyst for that. And it's just, and even as well that I'm in a relationship at the moment, because a lot of the women I'm coaching are talking about how lonely they feel because now they can't connect and date. And I'm like, gosh, I'm lucky. I really am, to have my partner now with me and to not be alone. And I think for each of us to be allowed to feel really grateful for how the situation may be serving us, I think we're allowed to really feel that. And there's a lot that's really serving you in this situation, which is beautiful.
Thank you.
Is there anything further around that you need support with around what you're navigating with that?
I guess I'd love to find, I'd love to hear, I guess, how, what, you know, rituals or, you know, how you're, how everyone's kind of supporting themselves during this time of dropping into the heart more, because I guess I have a toolkit of all the different things that I do, but, you know, listening to what our heart needs now that we don't need that huge level of self-care as much, because we do, we are resting more and we are taking care of ourselves. What does that kind of feel like for everyone?
Yeah, I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on that. I'll share one thing from my perspective. For me, the heart's very related to emotion. And so part of my work with connecting with the heart is the willingness to feel and experience whatever the heart's feeling in that moment, all of the emotions, which honestly at some points to me has been anger and frustration. Like part of me sometimes feels really pissed off about all of this. Other times I feel a lot of grief. Other times I feel fear. Other times I feel unsettled. There's a whole range of different emotions. And for me, really living in the heart is not just about love and light. It's about the full spectrum of emotions that we as humans can feel. So for me, I feel most connected to my heart when I'm just fully allowing myself to feel and embrace whatever is present in my heart in any moment, which, yeah, sometimes is absolute grief and tears, and other times is rage, and other times there's a lot of joy and gratitude. So staying really in my emotions and allowing them to move through me very freely is one of my ways to really stay anchored in my heart.
No, that's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, that's good to hear, because there has been a lot of tears and a lot of, like, how can I, like, all the, yeah, it's all crumbled away, I guess, you know, the freedom piece of it, in a literal sense, but also just the freedom to dream of the next steps or plan, because I love planning, like even that freedom is gone, you know, all of those things. I was, so there has been a lot of grief and a lot of releasing as well.
Yeah. And always think about with emotion too, any emotion that's unfelt, it's like I always see it as like a layer or a layer out here almost that sits over the heart, and I actually being in the heart, because if it's something you're not willing to feel, it's like it creates a barrier. So every time you feel an emotion, even if it doesn't feel very heart-based, it just feels like raw and ugly, whatever it is, you're actually clearing a layer that then brings you closer into that. So almost to see it like that, it's like clearing, it's detoxing anything that's blocking you fully being in the heart. So embracing, yeah, the feelings.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have anything they want to share that supported them to be listening in or coming into their heart or connecting with themselves during this time? Sophia?
It kind of got me thinking a bit and like reflecting. And I think, well, for me, what is helping to support me is just being really gentle with myself, and working on that, because I think it is so easy, especially at a time like now, to be hard on ourselves when we have so much space and time. Mm-hmm. Like for me personally, I feel like I should be doing things. I should be being productive and working on my business and things like that. And honestly, I haven't felt like doing anything. I've just felt like resting and enjoying the space, enjoying the time. And naturally I'm very hard on myself for not doing all the things, like not taking action. But I just think allowing ourselves to be in that space and be gentle and be present and, yeah, like feel into the heart and feel into what your intuition is saying and trusting that, I think that's just so important right now. Like we can't, things aren't necessarily predictable and we can't really plan, and maybe realizing that that's okay. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just reminding yourself to be soft and gentle.
Beautiful. And even the way, as you're saying that, it's just such a nice self-putting practice, like to be. So what you've said is absolutely right. And I completely agree. Beautiful. Anyone else? Yeah, Jenna?
I think for me, in just the last couple of days, I've even started talking to my heart, essentially, in my journaling. It's been, I can't really explain it, but as I'm journaling, it's just kind of, yeah, this conversation with my heart as we're just one rather than multiple beings. I think I've felt that a lot, is like, I've got my body, I've got my innards, but talking to them all is how are we all working together? And then another thing is really, we can still get outside for walks and stuff. And I really love connecting with nature. So really like staring at a tree and like listening to the birds and just really hearing and listening to them and feeling the sun and like consciously being outside. And like, I think Dawn was the one that says like you were doing barefoot meditation or something, but feeling the ground, connecting to the earth has really been this like, Mother Earth is like still like loving life and is so powerful and beautiful. So those are kind of two key things for me.
Wow. Yeah, Dawn and I were talking about that. We had a one-on-one session this week and we were talking about the getting the barefoot on the grass or even hugging a tree or just like, or getting your hands in soil and doing some gardening, anything like, I think nature is so, wherever we can get into nature, so supportive right now.
For sure.
All right, Dawn, it's your turn to share. What would you love support with? Oh, hang on, you're still on mute. Let me unmute you.
Okay. It's been interesting. I have a lot of, I don't know, just like irritation that just suddenly comes up, you know, with my husband. And it's like, he's going through, he's clinically depressed and takes medication for it. And I can see the depression is really deepening for him. And we had a little talk about it. And he's not really calling it that. He's calling it like the phase before the depression. And I'm like, he's sleeping an awful lot. And he doesn't react to, like, when I talk to him, you know. I mean, he typically doesn't do that anyway, but it's work. And anyway, so I have spent a lot of time outside. I'm outside as much as I can be outside. And I realized then too, a lot of the things that get me upset with him, I think is because of the difference. Okay, so outside is wonderful. I don't have any negative energy stuff out here. Everything's fine. I get in the house and I not only have the house energy, I have the energy of two people who are broken, who are completely, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just really not good. And so the fact that I have this duality is harder, I think, for me to deal with. And so when I was listening to everybody, this was really helpful because I was thinking whenever Sophia was talking and I was thinking, oh, yeah, you just kind of take a breath when your mother gets upset. You just take a breath and like you're just kind of listening to her. And then you say your piece, you know, and like you were saying, in a quiet and controlled way, which I'm not having any real issues with my mother because she's just sort of, the only thing is that when she gets, it starts being judgmental and saying the thing she always says, and then I am just like right there. I mean, it's so easy. I'm just right there, and I'm like, I want to go, stop it, don't do that. But it is just, it's an uncontrollable thing. It's better, but so I think a lot of it has to do with this duality of being outside, doing my meditation, really feeling so good, and then going in there. And it's too different. So, and I have everything I could do to clear the house again. And I thought about that. And then I thought, does that really do any good? You know, when you've got the situation you have. I don't know.
Well, first, what you were just saying when you did that example of like, okay, my mother's acting this way, I take a breath. And what I realized when you were saying that is, if there's no emotion in your heart, then that stuff is 100% possible. Like, imagine your mother was going on about something that actually triggered no emotion in you whatsoever. You could be the neutral observer just of her behavior and be like, okay, that's her, whatever. Like, right? The reason we can't do that is because there's something emotionally unresolved for us. That's what a trigger is. That's what a reaction is, right? It's almost like we go completely unconscious and another part of us takes over. So yeah, that's where it's interesting for us to see in all of your situations that you've described, both Sophia and yours. You know, these are very real challenging situations to navigate. I think any person would find it difficult. Like what you're, the people you're having to support at the moment, Dawn, that's a lot for you to carry, right? It's not easy just to be all like neutral and positive when that stuff's going on. But what we can learn about ourselves is, okay, where is there still that almost unconscious emotion completely taking you over in that moment, and why? Because the opportunity for us is to see what is unresolved within us still. Yeah. That's what the emotion coming up is. That's our unresolved stuff. Because once you clear that emotional charge, they can act that way and you're just like, okay, well, that's a shame you feel that way. I'm going to go outside now. There's nothing comes up, right?
And this is so interesting because I have that. So I have both that and the other. Actually, with my mother in particular. It's like, yeah, there's many things she says, and I'm just like, wow. Wow. And then I don't know if it's maybe a little different area. Like you say, there's whatever the unresolved thing is, then it like, and I tell my little annoying story, you know. Anyway, now with my husband, I know there's a lot of things going on there because there's guilt, I guess. I'm not a very guilty person. I probably have less guilt than almost anybody else, you know, because it's just not, I don't understand that emotion very well. But there are other things that are like, you know, you have a little bit of, gee, I wonder how this is all going to play out. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary and will do it. But it is hard not to at least have a little bit of wondering. You know, wondering what I wonder how this is going to work. But anyway, but I don't really think that has anything to do with the losing my temper, because that has happened really in the last 2 days. And I'm actually thinking that some of the other work I'm doing, the soul repair blessing meditation, it's just really a blessing. And then also the chakra clearing and the, you know, walking with the bare feet and all that, I think maybe it's just, it's bringing something up. And now it's coming out. And I also feel like I'm slipping a little bit back into the taking care, you know, like, oh, I make lunch for both of us like every day. And now it's already become a expectation. And I'm like, so I resent it. You know, I don't like that. And what I really want to do is I want to make my own. That's all.
Yeah, that's why you're angry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's why you're angry is because, you know what, like, I really just want to make my own lunch. Oh, but I need to go, da, da, da. And that's whenever we do, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be making them lunch, but it's whenever anger comes up a lot in ourselves and when we notice that we are not able to fully honor what we want and need, and we're having to put that to the side and do something for, say, to help someone else that we actually don't genuinely really want to do, but we feel we should do.
Yeah.
A couple of thoughts I just want to offer you around this is one, I know from our conversation that you've made several decisions around this and there'll be a point in time where the situation changes, right?
Right.
Interesting, because we've all talked about this in various ways. This is like when you decide, you know what, I don't want to be in this job anymore, but I know I'm here for the next 6 months, so I'm just going to have to figure out how to deal with it. So first of all, the decision already frees up a little bit of space because you know there is an end point to this at some point. However, I feel like there's almost a little bit of trust in, okay, I have sold contracts with these people. Usually, you know, my significant partner and my parent, usually there's some element of sold contract. Okay, if I have, say, 6 months left in this situation, what is the final work this situation is showing me? Because there's a reason it's happening right now. There's a reason. And I want to show up for what this is about myself. And also, if you have anger, you need outlets for that anger. You may not be able to yell at them about it, but any of us...
Oh, hey. Almost done, honey. Go ahead.
Any of us that have anger come up, anger has to be released in some circle. And it can't always be released. But if it doesn't, it's just going to fester in you. So whether it's listening to a music that allows you to like get that energy moving, or screaming into a pillow, or punching something, you've got to have outlets to get your anger out, otherwise it is going to
Okay. Yeah. All right. That sounds good. It's interesting because a few days ago, I still have my personal, my coach or my workout person. He comes still every 3 days, because when we were looking at what the rules are, and we're like, oh, you can exercise and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is a part of exercise. So I was so happy to hear that he was going to keep coming. So we do line dancing about every 2 weeks on a Friday. And so I have a Fitbit, and it, you know, it reminds me, oh, you got to do 250 steps. Okay. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do the wobble, or I'm going to go do the, you know, whatever. And you know what? I think that has been just doing that, not in anticipation, just as it being a part of my day, really helps on that, the anger and the frustration.
Yeah. And even like bring the situations to mind that make you angry, and like let it move through you as you're dancing and moving. Let that energy actually move through your body then.
Great. Oh, good. This is great. I'm so happy. Thank you. All right.
Let's go around and just do a final little check-in and get you each to share how you're feeling. So, yeah, just a word or a couple of words to describe how you're feeling as we are completing. Well, do you want to go first, seeing I've still got your audio on?
I feel relieved and... just de-stressed. Thank you. Wonderful.
All right. Who else would like to share how they're feeling? Amanda? Hang on. I muted you before. Let me unmute you now.
Oh, yes. Now I'm unmuted. That's it. I feel really calm and centered and in the right place. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Gemma, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really assured and comforted. Thank you for chatting that out with me.
Beautiful, my pleasure. Thank you. Danielle, how are you feeling? Oh,
can you? Yeah. I'm feeling still peaceful, but a little raw, and I don't know. I probably have to go out for a walk or do something to kind of move the emotion around, but yeah. A little overwhelmed in a bit.
It's so okay if there's a lot of emotion. I've had so much coming up, and we just as Sophia beautiful, mental, we become kind, and we just okay, what do I need today to help myself through that emotion? I just need a walk. Okay, beautiful, let's do that. Well done, thank you. Sophia, how are you feeling, love?
I'm feeling a bit more at ease, and like I have more clarity on this whole scenario, really. Yeah.
Okay. I will also post in the group about the work of Byron Katie, because I think all of us who are working on relationship triggers at the moment will find a lot of value in what she offers. So I'll post a link to that too. Thank you, beautiful women. Thank you all for being here, for your time, for holding space for each other, for your beautiful guidance and wisdom for each other, and for sharing so openly. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you all soon. Okay. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.